This is Nursing in America. Each week, we speak with incredible nurses from all over the world who have taken the leap to start a new life in the United States. If you're thinking about doing the same, then this is the place you'll find all the insider knowledge and inspirational success stories to realize your own American dream.
Well, hello. You guys sing with me. Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. We are talking about New York City. And joining for us for our discussion today, we have two nurses who immigrated to New York. And we have Romel and Kay. Romel, let's start with you. Tell me about your journey to the United States.
So my journey wasn't really easy. It's not the typical nurse, let's go, we have all the licenses, I'm ready. I was working in a corporate environment in the Philippines before I got my licenses. So I'm happy. The main reason why I want to go to the US is because I wanna follow my loved one. I'm a graduate of physical therapy. I took up additional course, which is nursing, because at that time in 2014, early 2010, there's not much opportunity for physical therapists. I think that the US door is closed for physical therapists. So I have to look for other opportunity, which is nursing. So I have to take up nursing again, just so I can get to the US. It wasn't easy because I was torn between staying in the Philippines. At the time, our relationship isn't really working anymore. So there's no point. So there's no point of going to the US. I have a good job in the Philippines at that time. But my lawyer was saying, you have the licenses. A lot of nurses are dying to go there, dying to get their visa. You have the green card. You should go. It's going to be gone if you want. So I said, okay, let's try it out. So that's the background why I pursued my nursing career in New York, in the US.
Kay, what about you? What is your story?
My story is very not your traditional, I want to go to US kind of story. It all started back when I put the wrong college course in my application. I'm supposed to go to medicine. When I have my application says nursing. So that's number one. So I said, you know, just go ahead, pre-med. It's going to go to nursing. Okay, I never had like really idea of going to the United States. Majority of my family are Chinese and businessmen. So for them, nursing wasn't their main first choice. It was mostly business and finance industry. So I'm one of the first family who went to healthcare. So, and then after that, during my second year of nursing, everybody was saying, hey, you know, we saw this new advertisement on the newspaper. Everybody's going to nursing. They're bringing to the US. And that was 2002. And I said, I don't know. I think I'm still going for my medicine. But as they boomed again, I said, I'm just going to keep on working, finish my college, take my board like everybody does, you know, when you're young and single and you don't care, you're just going with the flow. Exactly. I still have no idea that I'll go to the United States, but I just took, everybody's taking CGFNS, let's take it. Everybody's studying, let's take it. Everybody's taking English exam, let's take it after school. And then I took a job for in Philippines, in Manila, for as an OR nurse. Actually, I applied for ER and they put the OR. So it's the wrong, also HR made it wrong again. So it was wrong after wrong after wrong. It's just like, okay, I like in the operating room and working in the Philippines one year into it, my auntie who used to pick up these Americans from the international airport in Manila said, hey, I just pick up some foreigners in NAIA, in the Manila International Airport. They said they're meeting some nurses tomorrow And I said, Auntie, I'm coming from 16 hours evening shift and night shift. I don't know if I can make it tomorrow morning. And she said, I'm going to introduce you to someone. Just bring all your documents. And coming from 16 hours, almost 24 hours awake, I just came in with a, I didn't know, it was a job interview. So everybody was under suit. I came in with my green Chuck Taylors, my denim pants, and my shirt. And they started asking me personal questions. When you're 21 years old, 22 years old, you just want to party. You just want to go home. Let's get this done. Question. And then they said, welcome, congratulations to Harlem Hospital. And I'm like, did you just hire me? Like, literally, that was my word. Did you just hire me? Because I didn't know it was a job interview, literally.
It just happened.
Yes, it just happened. And my mom, you know, she wasn't happy. She said, she asked me, did you sign papers? I said, a lot of them. And where are they? I don't know. I put them there when I went to sleep. And this is it. And then she showed me, this is your contract to New York. You're going to Harlem. I said, I have no idea. I signed my life away. When you're 21, you just sign whatever without even reading. And I said, don't worry about it. It will take 2 years. I was blessed. I got my visa within 8 months and left. Thanks. There were 150 applicants during that time in New York, in Manila. Only two of us got here because the next month it was the retrogression.
Wow. So you had all of these different like energies coming at you to put you where you are, it seems like, because everything that,
like that.
went wrong actually made it go right in the end. Do you feel that way?
I felt like that. And everybody said, you know, I've come from a religious family. They say everything happens for a reason. And my mom was so worried and she got upset with me why I don't feel worried. And the only thing I said, Mom, you know, God's not going to put you in a position you cannot handle. That's it.
Exactly. Right? Well, now, where in New York are you? You're in New York State.
So I'm in Flushing, New York. I'm based in Flushing, New York, because I keep on moving. I'm based in Flushing, New York. That's in Queens. Okay, so we have the JFK Airport in Queens. And we have the Long Island nearby towards the far right side. So it's a typical Asian community. It's also very near the Woodside area, which is the Filipino restaurant store community. I love it there, not only because there's a lot of Asian food. We also have Asian marts. But that's where my friends are. When I first started in New York, I landed, even before, when I was trying to figure it out, I was working in a pharmaceutical company and had the opportunity of going to the U.S. So my friends keep telling me, come over, see Flushing, see Queens. Why don't you stay here when you finally move here? So when I saw the area, it really felt like I'm in Asia, / New Yorkish, U.S. So I said, okay, I'm staying here. It's pretty comfortable. The neighborhood is really nice. So that's where I finally, you know, stayed, never moved anywhere else other than Flushing, New York. It's very near Manhattan. We have, well, the place where I'm staying in Flushing, I can take two routes going to Manhattan where I'm working. So I can take the train and I can take the bus. I can take the 7 train. When I say the main train would be the Long Island train going to Manhattan, to Penn Station. So it's easier. And maybe we can discuss that later, correct? How to commute in New York. So
yeah,
pretty good area.
And what about you, Kay?
So I started in New York City, like Rommel. I'm from Manhattan. Again, the job that was offered to us was in Harlem. I have no idea where Harlem was before. I only know Harlem Globetrotter. That was the only thing I know about Harlem. So it's in Manhattan. It's called the Northern Manhattan. So Harlem is right on top of Central Park. And I used to live in East Side, which is it says they're Upper East Side there on the left side. It's between Queens and Manhattan. You know, if you see on the TV, majority of the video movies or videos or anything like Broadway, they say that's Manhattan. It's very easy. When I landed there, I felt like I'm in Manila. So it's very urban. So buildings everywhere, people crossing the streets everywhere. Even though it says one way, you'll make sure that the bikes will not go hit you the other way. People cross the street, even if it's red on the pedestrian, that, you know, that people are from New York City. If you see people stopping when it's a red sign on the pedestrian, they're tourists, most likely. So,
they're just tourists trying to take a bite of the Big Apple.
Exactly. It's a very similar, if you go there, like Rommel said, he find it home for me. It's the same thing for me when I landed there. I didn't feel like a homesickness because it felt like I'm in Philippines. I'm in Manila because I'm Manila girl. So this is something very similar to me. You have your restaurant open all the way to after midnight. It was not a big change, I would say, if I comparing to people, if I would be going to a suburb or rural area, it might be a culture shock for me, but going to New York City from Manila wasn't a big difference, really.
That's really good to know. And Rommel, back to you. What was it like your first day of work in New York? Was it in the United States, in New York? What was that like? You walked
in. It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. And I think it's there's a thing I want to tell the nurses from the Philippines. You really need to be prepared. I wasn't prepared. I have to admit that. I was working, before I left the Philippines, I was working in a corporate environment. I wasn't doing bedside. And then I've got thrown to a bedside setting. And that's really, really wild. I was lucky, though, that there are a few Filipino nurses on other floors where I was working at. And they're really, really very willing to help me. Otherwise, I would have not survived. But it took me maybe a year or so before I get really acclimatized. To make long story short, I was still learning the ropes of being a nurse when I started working. So the nightmare is like getting into an internship. So it's nightmarish for me. I don't take my snacks. I didn't, as far as I remember, for 6 months, I wasn't taking snacks and lunches. So I was doing morning shifts. And before I knew it, it's 3 p.m. And I have to do my notes taking. That time in 2004, it was in 2008. So in 2008, we don't have the computers. So we're doing manual notes taking and reporting. So it would take me another 2 hours before I get to finish my reports, my endorsements. So yeah, I was famished all the time. So when I go home, I'm tired, I'm hungry, and I just want to go back to the Philippines.
So you were a little lonely.
That's a big lesson.
You weren't prepared. Kay, did you feel prepared? Or did you feel these feelings?
I only had 8 months to realize I'm leaving my country. So as a single, I have no preparation at all. The only thing I prepared was I only had all, of course, my nursing documents. Aside from that, going to United States, like different, my first time to be out of the country, really. Without family, and New York, I was like prepared for it in a way. Like I'm prepared to party, because I would think, you know, you're single, New York City party. So that's how I thought. But the major challenge, exactly,
right?
The major challenge there is I would definitely say, you know, any single person would have to try New York. It will help you become a strong person because,
right.
From Philippines, our culture is different. Coming in here, coming to New York, it's very liberated, I would say. Liberated, and people are very outspoken and very assertive. So coming from Philippines, I'm not very assertive. I find myself sometimes being taken advantage of by my colleagues, and sometimes you're being stepped down because the language barrier is also there. In New York City, there's no English accent. If everybody coming from different parts of the world would have different accent, you're going to have to adapt for people who's speaking Indian, people who's speaking African, French, Haitian. There's a lot of diversity in New York City. I would say also our surrounding New York City. And language is something that was a challenge for me. I would always say, can you say that, please? Can you repeat that, please? Because my Filipino ears is not adjusted yet to the English language. And of course, it's not adjusted to international accent. So it was a really challenge for me. But as Romel said, the people are very helpful. You have to little tickle them first. They're not going to be friendly with you right away. Let's be honest with that.
Even tickle them. I love them.
Yeah, tickle them a little. Know their sweet spot. Even though Americans, like, you know, American local here in America would go to New York, they will sometimes find it New York City as a very challenging attitude. They would say attitude because we are, a lot of New York City is like, do your business, mind your business, do the right thing. But if you cross the line, you'll be in trouble. So they have a sense of, we respect you, respect what you do in your life, respect what you believe in your life. But if you go beyond that, there will be a little trouble in there. So that's a little bit, they call it the New York attitude. It's very different from other American, part of American attitude. They said, a lot of my friends who came to New York to visit, they said, this is very fast-paced. People doesn't even look at you. People don't even greet you. Yes. Sorry to say, but yes.
Well, that's the thing about New York. It is known as the melting pot.
Right.
And what the melting pot means, it's a lot of different people from a lot of different cultures and a lot of different backgrounds all coming together in one, technically like small piece of land.
In one party.
In one party. And everybody's trying to party together. And you know, there are those different languages, those different accents.
We'll be back with the conversation in just a second. There's a wonderful opportunity for you. Kinetics USA is currently recruiting registered nurses from all over the world to work in healthcare facilities here in the USA. If you are interested, please apply at kineticsusa.com/application. That's kineticsusa.com/application. On with the show.
Romel, did you feel that way as well? That you, there were, you know, a lot of different things, a lot of different people have a hard time with the conversations.
Yeah, I have, but to be honest, I have to unlearn a lot of things. I have this preconceived notion about New York and about the U.S. Because of a lot of movies I've watched about New York. I think the New York Tourism Council did really good in promoting New York in a lot of movies and a lot of series, TV series. So I have a different concept. I've done more than the reality and the real thing in New York is. So I have to unlearn some things. Having worked in a corporate setting, in a global U.S. company in the Philippines, I thought I knew everything. I thought I can easily get acclimatized in the environment. I thought I'm culturally adept because I'm working in a global company. So I felt like I'm so ready, but I can totally relate. When I arrived in New York, I have to, I'm saying unlearn because I have to give up some of the preconceived notions that I have. So I think the best way really is if you're going to New York is not to expect anything at all. You need to learn it in New York. You need to learn the values of New York people. You need to learn because I felt like I really feel like New York is a smaller version of the whole world. As you've mentioned, it's a melting pot. A lot of races come over. So you can't really pinpoint what is, which one is, and what will really work in New York, in terms of the dominant culture, the dominant value, it's like sink or swim. You really need to learn the rope in New York while in New York, because otherwise you'll be jaded. Otherwise you'll be expecting different things versus what is real. And yeah, you have to feel it. You need to be there.
It's that idea from the song, if I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere.
Exactly. I agree to that. I very much agree to that song.
The people, I think a lot of people in New York is there for something. So they're not mean. They just mean business. And they're there for something. So you don't want to bother them. And same thing, you're there for me, I'm there because I wanna be a good nurse. I wanna have a good nursing career in the US. I wanna have money. So I think that's that. You just need to learn how to live there and to learn with a lot of races and different with different values and with different culture. I think that's the challenge.
Okay, describe, if you could give us an overview of your apartment and a range of what somebody would pay for it. Just a range.
Okay, so initially when I got to New York, I'm sponsored by our hospital. So we have, so either you go with a hospital subsidized housing or you go with your own private. So for me, when I got there, initially I had our subsidized housing, which is a very, 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 very good deal, and you will not find it anywhere. So it was a dormitory base. They house all the EMS. The first floors were the EMS, fire department. And then the second was towards upper will be like your resident doctors and your nurses. So it was a very good government subsidization housing. So we only paid $300 for a dorm.
Okay, don't give people this idea.
That's I know, right? So again, and they raise it up. So we didn't get upset. They raise it up. They put it to $500 a month. This, again, is a government-subsidized housing that was provided to government employees. And a lot of actually hospital, government hospitals, if you work with them, they will provide some of that benefit. Going outside that, I started learning the real deal of Manhattan after not paying $500 a month, free utilities included. So it was now a studio apartment. Now in Manhattan, a studio apartment by yourself alone with a, you know, kitchen there without even the washer and the dryer with it. You have to go to a public laundry. So you're looking around $1,600 for a studio in Manhattan. When you go outside Manhattan, it's going to be cheaper. Queens will be your better choice. Bronx is there. Brooklyn is there on the bottom. And you have New Jersey on the opposite side of the bridge, which is us. A lot of people also live in New Jersey. They just have to cross the bridge. But again, when you do that, you have to compute. You really have to run your numbers. So being Manhattan might be beneficial if you're by yourself. But when you have kids and family,
when you do that,
you might want to go outside Manhattan because it gets very expensive and you will need like public transportation or private transportation. For single, again, you're looking around $1,600 for a studio apartment going down. If you want to look more luxury with the bed, with the washer inside, washer, when I say washer, those are your laundry machines that are inside. It's luxury. When you have laundry machine inside your apartment, laundry machine and dishwasher in New York City, that's luxury already. We barely get a laundry inside our apartment. So you will be looking around $2,000 a month for a studio with laundry machine inside. Otherwise, you will have to use your coins on your machine wash. So you're going to bring all your laundry. That's one thing. That's the inconvenience of living in New York City. But other people who work inside New York City and live like just across, you know, across the bridge, which is New Jersey, they pay also tolls, which is also expensive. So there is like kind of equivalent. It's kind of equal when you live outside and then inside Manhattan.
And that's inside Manhattan. Ramel, you live right outside of Manhattan. All right. What is it like for a one bedroom there?
Right. But that's very thorough what she just described. But so I think I'm cheap. I live in the suburb, and I designed it that way. Maybe that's why, because I never left Flushing, because I'm enjoying the cheap accommodation. So I stayed with a few friends in a 1940s house. So we share all the expenses, and I'm just paying, at that time in 2008, I was just paying $500 for my room. All the expense included, including electricity, water, etc. And there's somebody's preparing the food for us. So I think that's cheap. It went up to 600 to 700, 800 up until last year. It's now at 800, but that's still cheap. And you can't find that anywhere in New York unless you're in a group of friends. So I think that's the tip. If you have friends, or you can look for friends, you can share an apartment, you can share a house, your life is going to be cheaper. We don't go out to bars. We prepare our own drinks on Fridays and Saturdays. We cook our own food. So it's a bit cheaper. In terms of commuting, we have the weekly and the monthly unlimited ride for MTAs. So I think the bus is at 135, 140-ish a month. I think for weekly, that's around, I'm not pretty sure now because I'm doing the monthly.
So the monthly is less expensive. It's a better deal than if you did the daily or the weekly.
Correct. And the company where I'm working at, they're offering the flex, something like a flex benefit. You can pay for your money. It's not taxed, but you have to declare ahead of time. They're going to give you an MTA card. My friends bought their own car because they're working super remotely. I think they're paying for $200 a month, if not $300, but it really depends on the insurance. If you're a new driver, I think insurance can easily go up to $100 or $200 a month.
$300
for you. Okay.
So it depends. Yeah, it depends.
Correct.
I want to add there. When I was a new nurse in New York City, I started doing travel nursing in my third year, and I was quoted as a new driver for $300 a month for insurance.
Ooh.
And my car, my actual car was just a sedan, you know, Hyundai Elantra, you know, cheap car. It's a cheap from A to B. It was my Hyundai Elantra was less than $300, but my insurance was $300. Because I was a new driver, and the location, they actually base it from the location. But I want to add there, since I was working for a government hospital, so they provided us with GEICO. GEICO is one of the top insurance here in the US. It means government employee insurance company. So when I learned that trick, they gave me from $300 to $180 per month. It's still high, but it's a better. So that's one trick there.
So we got the insurance, you got the mass transit, car. Well, if you have the car, we have the gas as well. Parking. You both have had cars there. What's parking like?
That was the most mistake I ever did that's why I said the one of the most silly thing you will ever do when you're from New York City is to buy a car. Majority of people don't own car in New York City. The only reason why I bought a car because I started travel nursing on my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Otherwise, I will never own a car in there. Because parking is very expensive. 3 hours parking in the major tourist spot could cost you about $50 already, plus taxes. So that's $50. And 3 hours of parking in major part of Manhattan. Some places, if you are lucky to find like spots where you put like, not anymore coins, we swipe it because what happened, there was a big robbery of coins from those posts. So they cut all those posts. So now everything is like credit card or by app for you can look around $2 for about half an hour. Some of them have good $2, half an hour, or good spots will be some place will be $3 an hour.
If you ever go and hail a cab, Ramel, do you ever go and hail a cab? Taxi, just like
yeah, I do.
Yellow cab.
I do. I do that. I don't have a car, but my friends do. That's why going to Manhattan, we wouldn't be bringing cars. We would be commuting. We would be taking trains. And what's different with living in Flushing in the suburb, there's spaces for free parking. If you're not in downtown, if you're not in the main area where there's restaurants or whatnot, it's for free. But in Manhattan, really, it's skyrocketing. And even looking for a parking alone is very difficult. It's totally difficult. So we don't bring cars to Manhattan on weekends, especially.
That's a no.
I'm from Manhattan. I would not bring it, especially on office hours. Don't bring it. There's no parking.
Right.
But I would say the worst a lot of people would encounter, like driving in there, are they don't understand that if it's a red light, there's no turning on red in Manhattan. If they catch you, they will charge you. So Manhattan, New York City, one of the highest revenue of New York City, the entire government, is parking tickets. Parking tickets, parking violations. Saying that, one of my cousin who visited, he just literally like put his car there on a hazard on the side, and he got billed $115 for no standing. So there's a word there that's called no standing. A lot of people don't know that. They thought it was like just literally standing on the street. But actually, the meaning of no standing is actually don't put your car on an idle, even though you're inside the car. It's called standing. So those are a lot of confusion when people go in there. And they didn't realize that because they're not from there. And they get hit for just staying there for 5 minutes, $115 bill from the traffic enforcer. Now, probably now it's $135 with inflation. So for 5 minutes. So you be careful. So that's why I advise don't bring your car in New York City if you have no idea how the rules go in there. But otherwise,
lesson learned.
Transportation is very good. There's taxi in there, like Ramel said. I also hail taxi. Yeah. Now with Uber having in there, Lyft is another competition. If you want to borrow a car, if you want to go outside, you can rent car there within the area. There's in every corner of the place, you will find a rental company that you will have to pay like around $60 for the cheapest that you will find, and probably all the way up to $150 per day rental.
I want to add to that, for rent a car, sometimes they have promos. So my friends sometimes get rent a car for only for $10 if you're going to return it in a couple or in 4 hours time. So that's pretty cheap. That's even cheaper than taking a Lyft or an Uber.
And then you don't have to find parking. When you are traveling, let's say not into the city, so we've learned take trains into the city or rent a car so you don't have to park.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Nursing in America. Part 2 will be available next week, so make sure you hit the follow button and come back to join us then. If you enjoyed the episode, please help us and leave a review. Kinetics USA is currently recruiting registered nurses internationally. We offer direct hire, which means healthcare facilities will directly sponsor and hire you to work here in the USA. If you're interested, please apply at kineticsusa.com/application. That's kineticsusa.com/application. You can find the link in the show notes.